I have to get everything just so. Had a friend visiting one day. It was actually a friend of Charlene's, another interpreter who she's known for years. And I have this big bowl of fruit in the middle of the kitchen. And I was rearranging the fruit, making sure everything was just so. And she says, "You happy now?" Which leads me into my talk in a minute. We all have personalities. We all have these so-called traits. So on psychologically, emotionally, physically, we're all different, right? We all have challenges. You could call them that. So for me, I'm an introvert, for example. You could call me an introvert, which means I'm challenged in a group of people setting. An extrovert might be really getting energy off of the whole group. For me, at a certain point, I have to say it's enough. So yesterday we had our retreat. So I'm getting ready for the retreat. Charlene and Nancy are there early, setting things up. And I'm feeling the need to have some me time, which is common for an introvert. And so Charlene was asking me questions. What about this? What about that? How about this? Where do we put this? Where do we do that? And I said, no more questions. Don't ask me any questions. And I wandered off. I was kind of gruff about it, you know, didn't know how else to do it. So the point here is this personality traits that we identify with, that's not who we are. This is like the reflection of the moon and water. This isn't real. This is just something that we're working with. This is like grist for the mill when it comes to our practice. So I like to say our practice is about getting to know ourselves. And the first thing that gets in the way of knowing ourselves is ourselves. This is what I'm referring to, right? So another way you could describe me is I'm a Sagittarius with a Pisces moon and a Scorpio rising. So what does that mean? I fling a lot of arrows. I'm very intuitive and passionate. Is that really me? You see, that's just what I'm working with. So we all have these. And we come across through in the world with these traits, ideas of what it is we are. So our struggles quite often is with these things. For me, struggle yesterday was in the beginning. I needed to find a way to settle into what I was about to embark on with all these people. That was a challenge. But as soon as I sat and we started our sitting, the grasp I had on this personality loosened, loosened, and loosened until eventually, you know, like I said before, I was holding it like a little baby, you know. It was there, but I wasn't attached to it. So I wasn't attached to the idea of me, of I. So we talk about this as ego in all kinds of other ways. But as we sat during the day and I kept progressing through the day, it just got easier and easier for me to let go of this whole way of viewing my world. So Bodhi, or original nature, suchness, begins to take place where we loosen this grip of what we think we are to what we actually are, you see. And then that can work through our lives. This is where freedom lies. This is where compassion, wonderful relationships, all can happen. So the grist for the mill, enlightenment doesn't take place anywhere else. So this challenge of mine, having to deal with people, is perfect Because it's that opportunity to let it go, to be more than that, to not cling to it. We like our misery. We really like to hold on to it. So if we're going to be miserable souls, we're going to be miserable souls no matter what. Don't tell me to be happy. So I just wanted to kind of come back to the retreat yesterday from that perspective. I don't know what your experience was yesterday, but I hope that there was some loosening up of at least that sort of hanging on to how we view things. For a large part of my life, I used to blame my surroundings for how, and the people in my life for how I felt. And I think that's another thing we all do. We have to find some place to put it. Again, letting go is freedom. The blame game, you know, it's somebody else's fault. It's just another way of not being honest about what we're bringing to the table. It's not about fault, right? Do other people do terrible things and make mistakes and hurt us? Of course, they do that. You can't rely on people to give you what you want. Ever. Nobody is going to be the way you want them to be, no matter how much in love you are, no matter how compatible you are, no matter how perfect someone is as your soulmate. Forget it. They're not going to give you what you want. Because what you want, you already have. Nobody can give it to you. That's why we say there's no other Buddha than mind. There's no Buddha out there that's going to give you freedom, compassion, enlightenment, wake you up.
No one is going to save you.
Thank you. That's exactly it for me. You guys have anything you want to add or talk about?
Yeah. So, well, thanks, Bill, for like you totally answered a question I never got a chance to ask.
Okay.
And I actually was so funny. But all those things were, you know, coming to the Sangha today, those specific things that you were illustrating going through my mind. And I know, especially after like a ceremony like we did yesterday, while on one hand, it's a kind of going through the motion, and another hand, you're kind of telling the universe that you're doing something and it will respond in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever way, I don't know. But so I think that those of us who've aspired in some way, or have found interest or a new path in some way, you know, there's an established goal from the beginning that changes as you move forward. And I think one of the things that happens often, which is something that you probably need to pay attention to, is that that inspiration and the new experiences and all of that change over time, and as these things come up, we're becoming more and more. Things are just a lot more clear about what's this and what's that. And we start to see maybe some unsavory things that kind of bind us up and be this juxtaposed against our goal and our aspiration can kind of eat at you a bit. And so what you were talking about, in addition, my thinking was on practice, about what is actually practice. You know, we're kind of, you know, like say say one day we come to the Sangha, I'm kind of down. You sit there and your mind's just going on.
Yeah.
You just kind of like say, okay, oh, man, I really wish I was into this. And then you do the walk and then you get out of here and you're like, did I do anything? You know, and these kind of struggles start happening. And, but that's, I think that's one of the things about regular practice is it's this thread through all those things that are experienced, because for no reason at all, you know, you go through this kind of like mired, like existence for a while and then, no, that's practice. That's the thread that goes through all these things. And, I just wanted to mention that because, you know, I think it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget when, you know, when we're not trying this on, we're embarking on this. So what comes, we can, you know, just accept it. It's just, it's there and it doesn't impact our practice. You know?
Yes. So a little bit of what I talked about in terms of personality traits has a little bit to do with the whole idea of precepts, because precepts again can be looked at as kind of goals, right? I'm really a greedy son of a bitch, but I'd really like to be generous and you know, so you struggle with this, okay? So there's the struggle, oh man, you know. I'm just, you know, so that's that, getting back to personality, that's not real. And that's what you're discovering as you're going through it. You're identified with it as though it is because you love your freaking misery. But that thread you're talking about is Bodhi. That's the thread of awakening or original nature that cannot be defiled in any way, shape, or form, is not something that you have any control over, actually. Because it's the light that shines. It's the lamp that's lit that is directing your life. And that's it. The rest of it is just grist for the mill. Don't take yourself so freaking seriously.
Meditation and I walked right into the bridge. I wish I had a video. It was like a movie. It was I laughed about it.
Yeah,
I didn't take it so serious.
Very similar situation, but somebody else saw me do something goofy. So I was training in Los Altos Hills in California, an ashram there. And there was this really like amazing, you know, older monk. He was so funny. He was like a kind of, you know, it's comical, but very like at the same time, he was like very, you know, it's weird. Like he's just the teddy bear. And it's,
right.
So we're walking through the woods and there were some, I was walking towards some puddles and I kind of was like daydreaming, looking at the trees. And then I looked down and suddenly I was about to step into a puddle and then I moved my foot and I slammed into the puddle and then stepped again outside the puddle. And just like in the most direct, firm and compassionate way at the same time, he's like, you're a fool. And I didn't feel a dagger, uh-huh. You know, because he was actually stating a present fact, but I didn't feel like that dagger, but what he said to me remained with me for the rest, I mean, until now. Like I see the moment like a crystal clear. And the way that he said it didn't make me feel like, oh, now I'm screwed, I'm an idiot, you know,
no,
doing the rest this stuff for the rest of my life. And, no, it was just like he's just stating a present fact.
Right.
Yeah.
So like Vimalakirti said in the sutra yesterday about Maitreya, was it Maitreya? Asked him, you know, well, how does a bodhisattva go about being on the path? He says, by not being on the path. He may appear to be a grumpy, mean, nasty person, or he may be a bum on the street, or he may be a successful businessman, or he may be blah, 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 blah. You know, all these personality traits may appear to be, but this is who Buddha is. See, so this was the Buddha talking to you. So there was no judgment. It was an awakening call. It was just like, you know, he was just transmitting Bodhi to you. It was beautiful. And that's the same with the branch. Nature was just contributing, you know? It's like...
And then yeah. I saw that gating right afterwards. So I thought, okay, that was...
Good idea to pay attention.
Uh-huh. I do want to say thank you for what you said about the our personality traits and challenging them, because something I've been thinking about lately and meditated this morning on is clarity, watching things with non-attachment. And yesterday you talked about projecting what you see into something mm-hmm. that it's not. Mm-hmm. So I've been asking myself, how can I do that? You know, I feel the non-attachment, but I still feel that I might be altering reality. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the personality traits, I think that's something to identify. When I see something as, is this my personality filtering what's happening? I know my personality trait is this. What if I look at it through the lens of someone with the opposite trait? Kind of like intro versus extrovert.
Yeah. So, couple of things. We fool ourselves all the time. So non-attachment isn't necessarily a change in direction or approaching things from a different point of view. It's still a point of view. So emptiness or being awake is just like a mirror or like an empty sky. It's just allowing whatever is, is. So what we do is so hard because we're so good at fooling ourselves, and that's okay. See, so that's the other part of it. If you give yourself a hard time about something, that's an attachment. As soon as you give yourself a hard time, you're attached. You're no longer seeing clearly, but that's okay, because that's the opportunity. That's that branch. Oh. Asking the question, what is this? Rather than looking for another way to approach it, just asking, what is this? And letting your own nature, which is already pure, see it, rather than trying to add something to it that makes it easier for you to see it. Am I making sense? Yeah. It gets complicated because we do that. I mean, again, it comes back to this whole personality thing. You know, this is what we're equipped with. So you're very intelligent. You have a very highly evolved intellect. So that is part of what gets in the way, but it's not, you see. So you don't negate it, but at the same time, you don't buy it. Lock, stock, and barrel. So, and then different stages, like Nick was saying, there's different stages to our path. There is one stage where we do that a lot. You know, we're constantly reading, we're constantly looking for, you know, all the different ways we can approach this experience that we have, and we're wanting it to be better. And, you know, and it's, we're on the path of Bodhi. If you look at the 10 ox herding pictures, for example, the one at the very end, after you've been through all these different levels of experience, so-called levels of experience, is you're just sitting there with a bag of treats and playing with the children in the marketplace. I mean, that tells something about the whole experience of where we're headed. We're not headed anywhere. So-called stages of understanding, of wisdom. And they're all beautiful in their own way because they all have these surprises. And I think for me, I'm always going through all 10 of them, you know, over and over again. So this is what happens when we understand that we're not our personality. You know, it's just, we understand it in different ways, depending on where we are on that expanse.
Is that like what they call accepting imperfection as perfection? As you are?
Yeah.
It's like, because trying to change or get rid of, you know, what, that's what we get at war with with certain parts of ourselves. And there's this tendency to want to push away. And, you know, Jungian psychology, it's all about pushing things into the shadow, and it always comes back up somewhere else that creates havoc.
Right.
So, you know, the whole repression thing doesn't ever really work. So it's really about, for me, the last few years, just learning how to make friends with the parts of myself that have always been trying to push away the parts of myself. Like, oh, that's not, this part of me bad, this part of me is not acceptable, this part of me, you know, likes taking too many risks, this part of me, you know, is in funky relationships, you know, and it's just like, okay, let's just kind of suppress all of that. But then, like, life just gets tight and narrow. And, you know, it's not, you're not alive. So it's kind of like, okay, maybe all these funky ways of being that have always bothered me are actually me. And I need to stop thinking of them as bad or just dangerous or risky or whatever. It's like, those are the parts of me that are alive, that want to be alive, that want to go things a little bit and experience life more deeply and more richly. I keep all of that stuff under wraps.
Yeah, but holding them gently is different than trying to suppress them.
Right.
Holding them gently is being aware. It's wisdom mind. It's being aware of the consequences of what you, if you follow this particular path, you've been down that road before, you know where it's going to take you. So you don't have to take that path, but you can appreciate where it's coming from. So that's okay. Another way I want to just kind of bring things into focus for us is I want to say that when I say don't take ourselves so seriously, it's a very serious thing. We're on a path. It is Bodhi. I say it seriously. We don't want to be fools. So when we recognize we're being a fool, wonderful. We don't need to be a fool. We can be aware where we're stepping.